Hello and welcome to the March 2021 edition of the Clinical Medicine Editorial. This is being recorded at the one-year anniversary of the World Health Organization declaring COVID as a pandemic, and inevitably the journal over that last year has featured a large number of articles around that condition, and it really has reflected the best of practical advice that the journal aims to publish. And at this one-year point, we can feel like we've gone through, not just nationally, but internationally, waves of the pandemic where we've moved, and I feel the journal has moved from those initial reports of here's this new virus variant, here are the clinical presentations of it, here is then a clinical approach to recognizing the symptom presentation in all its protean forms, from the most acute to the more subclinical, to the rather atypical, and here's how the testing process is going. Here are the theories on etiology and prediction of severity. Here is the data that's emerging for some of the more questionable treatments that were offered. Here are some articles on vaccine development. And I feel that as we've gone through this journey as clinicians, the journal has in part try to reflect our clinical practice, and in part try to provide practical advice about what to do at this current phase. Inevitably, a journal like ours is not going to be publishing, nor does it really aim to, the cutting edge clinical trials that plainly belongs in different journals. But we believe clinical medicine exists for practicing doctors, and I feel actually rather proud of what the authors have been able to submit to us and we've been able to showcase, and that's been enhanced by the fact that we've been able to increase the size of what we deliver by maintaining the regular 6 monthly editions, but being able to augment that with the online content. So to turn to the actual content this month, inevitably I think we're going to almost run through the COVID related material, because I'd like to sort of give a sense of what's in here to make you dip into this. We've got a really interesting paper on the ethical principles that guide decision making during the various phases of the pandemic, and indeed how that plays out in the longer term. We've got articles on emergency presentations, one on the use of news, News2, as an assessment tool in this context, and raising that question that's been raised by several authors, but we're really delighted to publish the article by Duncan and colleagues about the variable rate of progression with COVID and whether News2 can identify preemptively such patients. And that article sets out a sort of cutoff score, which is a sensitivity in this scenario, and I commend that. There are articles on contract tracing and what we can learn from contract tracing in other conditions. This is obviously a very topical subject with lots of sort of journal and front page red top type headlines in the UK. But the science behind that is an article we're delighted to feature by Brown and colleagues. Those of us who are on the wards in the first phase will remember the toll borne by certain professional groups, and the safety of any citizen intensivists, whilst not necessarily our primary reader group. These are colleagues we've worked with closely in the last year, and there's an excellent piece by Tim Cook and colleagues on this. Taking the COVID pandemic to the more community-based aspect, which we are also involved with covering as physicians, there's a paper perspective at least on vitamin D supplementation, and really delighted to feature that. And beyond that, we've continued to have our wide range of COVID related articles. One of the ones that we feel is really important is a paper by Khorasani et al. On the effects of COVID-19 on one particular medical department. One hospital, should I say, with looking at the medical staff across all departments in a single centre. And I think it, number one, will help assure us about the situation in places we've been working in as not being too out of kilter. most of what we've seen in large cities and in smaller hospitals has been the same pretty much in terms of the workforce and the impact that that's had. And I guess it's impossible to talk about our workforce without at the 1 year anniversary thinking about the toll borne by our population in hospitals, and in particular the ethnic minority populations in hospital, which have been disproportionately affected. A figure that echoes with me and I can't get my head past really is about the burden that's been suffered by Filipino nurse community who work alongside us. There are a staggering 33,000 registered Filipino nurses in the UK, so approximately one in 50 of the nursing staff in the UK is Filipino trained, and this 2% of the population of the nursing workforce is disproportionately affected in those who have died. 25% of the nurse workforce which has died in the UK are Filipinos. So whilst making only up 2% of the workforce, that's been their disproportionate burden. And I mentioned that in the context of an article with several Royal College of Physicians authors, led by Ajay Verma, on the workforce in the UK, this time specifically about physicians, identifying from risk assessments that one third are at greater risk of mortality from the virus. Beyond the COVID content, which remains strong and clinically relevant, as I say, this month's CME is gastroenterology with five typically superb articles covering the full length of the GI tract from esophagus down to the bowel. So there's, and all of this has general appeal. So apart from the specialist articles on achalasia and dysphagia and an update on ulcerative colitis, there are important articles about a practical approach to diarrhea, which we'll all see, an update on the nonsteroidal enteropathy and how to assess that in the modern era. And with 1 in 60 to 1 in 80 of the population having diagnosable celiac disease, there's an update from the expert group in Sheffield on that condition as well. What else is there in ClinMed this month? The title of the editorial in print is Assisting Clinical Decision Making Through Tools, Rules, and Teams. And you can see that some of what I've described in this podcast has been the stuff around the rules and ethical principles and material around some of the tools that we use. We've also touched upon the idea of teams, but probably one of the articles I would say I take great pride in featuring is another common condition often seen in GI practice, but again more widely. And it feels like this addition ties together in those aspects of COVID and gastroenterology of iron deficiency anemia. And it's a review looking at the particular situations that we all find ourselves treating patients with in the preoperative situation in iron deficiency, in patients with who are pregnant. And it looks at how to supplement, because there's lots of theories we may see or read representatives from pharma passing us material about how best to supplement. But the practical thing of what we do in these common clinical scenarios is a review which has been long overdue, I feel. And we're delighted to have a paper by Al-Nassim et al. To look at that. And if there's one other paper I'd like to sort of showcase, is the paper by De Burger et al. Who have also proposed a scoring system to predict the discharge destination of patients admitted with an acute stroke. So whether we work in stroke units or not, this remains a highly relevant practical point, with the incidence of stroke not making any significant decrease despite the small reduction we saw in the first phase of the pandemic. So I hope you find much to enjoy in this edition. It is also worth noting that increasingly the output from the Royal College publishing team will come through in digital form. We are really delighted to have such high quality digital material available in the sense of the interface that we have, which works really well on computer as well as tablet, and for those of you with good eyesight, phone as well. And you know, we respectful of the need to respect our carbon emissions, both in terms of print as well as mailing, and are moving increasingly following the lead of our trainees, as ever, who have really blazed the trail about how this can be a highly acceptable way of consuming content as well as being socially responsible. Thanks ever so much for staying through to the end of this 10 minutes, and I wish you continuing good health. Hope you've all had to vaccination for those of you who've wanted to take it, and those of you who haven't, who've had a chance to tackle any hesitancy or lack of confidence you may have had. And I look forward to joining you again for the June 2021 edition halfway through the year. All the very best.